Okay. So, you only thought things were complicated so far? The main topic that we have left to cover is this, or to give you some idea about GSM channel structure. So, physically, GSM is a TDMA-FDMA scheme, meaning it uses both time division and frequency division multiple access. So we have, on the frequency side, we've split our spectrum into a number of channels, specifically 124 200 kilohertz channels, and these are paired, so you have an uplink and a downlink channel. So for each uplink channel, you have a paired downlink channel. Okay. Then each channel is further divided into time slots, so you time slice. And you have eight slots. So if you've ever talked about telephony, that's what should look familiar. Okay. And obviously, then you can assign a communication, a user, a pair, a time slot plus frequency. Okay. So that's not horribly complicated. That's not complicated. If you want to send any piece of information or signaling, it has to go into one of these time frequency pairs. Okay. Okay. So those pairs are referred to as a physical channel. Okay. And so, we said we paired our frequencies, so that means that your channels then are, your physical channels are paired. You have an uplink and a downlink channel. You offset the time slot numbering for the uplink and the downlink just to make processing easier. So you're never going to be transmitting and receiving a signal at the same time. Okay. And within that, GMSK is used to modulate your signal. So we discussed that previously. Okay, so we have uplink and downlink channels. And so if you know your uplink, you know what your downlink is. It's an offset in frequency and an offset in time. Okay. So we put these channels to a number of uses, specifically we send data or we send signaling information. None of our physical channels
have an exclusive use. So you don't always send one piece of information on your physical channel. So the question then becomes, well, how do you know what sort of information you're sending? And so the way that happens is that our physical channels are divided up into, or are denoted as by logical channels, where the logical channel indicates what sort of information is being carried.
You say eight physical channels per character. This is you're referring to the TDMA aspect there.
The TDMA, yes. So again, your physical channel is in this time slot plus a frequency. So you have eight of those possible because of the TDMA. Okay. And so now you would like to know what is being sent on your
physical channel. And so,
right now, again, we have our carrier frequencies, and then if we look at any given carrier frequency, what we'd say is we're sending a sequence of TDMA frames, so a sequence of time slots, and so if we pick out any single time slot, then that's our physical channel. Okay, so carrier frequency plus a single time slot. Now, depending on sequencing issues that we'll talk about later, different information can be sent on that same time slot. Okay. So here we're sending I think that's traffic information, and then every once in a while we send a signaling message. Okay. So distinguishing the type of message being sent at any given time leads us to having logical channels. Okay, so the receiver will know how to interpret the message because it will know that at this particular time I should be getting a control message, so this must be the control message. At another time I should be getting data, so this must be data.
Okay. So, again, the logical channels are differentiating between different types of messages or data being sent.
So we have our four basic types. We have traffic channels, so those are the ones that send their data. Or carry our data, I should say, so either speech or bits. We have broadcast channels, and they're sending control messages in the downlink direction only, so broadcast because the BTS is broadcasting it, and they're used to transmit control information to the users and also between neighboring cells. And so again, if a user is looking for to join the network, then well, they're going to have to listen for a beacon. That beacon would be sent along the broadcast channel. Then you have common control channels and dedicated control channels. So common control channels are used prior to call setup. So we said we're trying to establish a link, but you have to do that. So you have to ask for the link. You do that along a common control channel. Okay. Once the link is set up, dedicated control channels can be used to maintain, for the maintenance of that link.
Okay, so the basic unit really for traffic channels is the voice signal, and so we're assuming that we want to send 13 kilobits per second, so that's an encoded voice signal using some sort of LTC encoding. So we have that plus channel coding, so with error coding, and so that's your basic unit for data transmission. Okay. In some cases, you can operate at half that rate. Okay, so those are sort of basic. Transmission speeds, the unit at which our data is transmitted through these channels. Okay. So, if we think about it, again, just sending our traffic, our voice signal, then we can assign it a slot and we send it along. But we steal the occasional slot to send control information as well. Okay. So again, we want to know what information is we're getting at any given time on that slot. So the way we do that is we group our frames together into what are called multi-frames. So a certain number for this sort of information, you group together 26 frames. So you have 26 sequences of time slots, essentially. And then frame 12 is used to transmit our control information. Okay, and this is this the
information is it's slow associated control channel, so it's maintaining the
information to maintain the connection. Okay. So again, that's we say where? Whoops. Oh, going the wrong way. Okay.
So but conceptually, again, this idea of producing multi-frames is significant. Okay, so it's giving you a way of, again, telling what information is being transmitted at any given point in time.
Okay. So that was your traffic control channels, and we're stealing some of those for your traffic channels, and we're stealing some of those for control information. And we again have our different types of control information. And first of all, we have our broadcast channels, again, downlink only.
And again, we always know where to find them. They're the first frequency in the first time slot. Okay, downward direction only. So they have a very specific location. And there's within that location, first frequency, first time slot, we're trying to do a whole bunch of things. And so, again, we arrange what we're trying to do by sequencing, by deciding where we are in the sequence of frames. Okay. So we have frequency correction channel, and that's transmitted every 10 frames. And it allows frequency synchronization. Frequency synchronization. We have the synchronization channel, and if this is every 10 frames, then one frame on, and then from the frequency correction channel, we have the synchronization channel. Then we have broadcast control channels, which again are in specific frames and are used to manage the resources. Okay. So, again, what we're seeing is that we know what information is being sent by knowing where in a sequence of frames it's coming in. Then we have common control channels. So, again, these are the ones that are going to be used prior to setting up a connection with the user, but when they're trying to set up this connection. And so they also use the same space as the broadcast control channels, but they fill in slots that are not being used by the broadcast channels. Okay. And so, again, there's various categories. You accomplish paging from that, so locating your mobile. Users can request the access, and then the access can be granted over those channels. So setting up your connection between the user and the base station. Okay. So common control channels and broadcast control channels use the same time slot. So again, we distinguish by seeing where they are in a sequence. And for the purpose of multiplexing these sorts of channels together, sharing the slot, before we had it to share between the data and control, we used 26 frame multiframes. Here we use 51 frame multiframes. Okay. And again, if you know where you are within the multi-frame, you know what sort of information is being sent on that channel. Okay. So again, here we have one carrier frequency, one time slot, and then we look at a sequence of 52 of these. And depending where you are in that sequence, you're sending different information.
So your final control channels are your dedicated control channels. So when you've set up your connection, then you reserve channels to control that connection. Okay. And so they're bidirectional, they're on any time slot except zero. So again, there's a number of things that need to be done, so they're divided up into separate logical channels. Okay, so we have standalone dedicated control channel, and so that ensures the connection while the authentication process is going on and resource allocation is going on. Okay, and I think that should probably be used as a data channel. Okay, and then you have slow associated control channel, and that's regulating the radio connection. So if you need to change power or communicate information about power and channel quality, you do it over the slow associated control channel. And then you have a fast associated control channel, which is our urgent message, and that will steal frames from our data. Okay. Okay, so again, we see that within the multi-frame structure, we are sending different information depending on where you are in the sequence. And again, for these signals, we're using a time slot other than zero. So in this case, we're using time slot one. Okay, so what this means is we've got this 26 frame sequence going on, and we've got a 51 frame sequence going on. So I don't know why I copied it twice. And so you cycle through the entire, all of the possibilities over 51 times 26 frames. Okay, so we call that a super frame. You cycle through the entire possibility. And so, so that's the point of this, is just you do cycle through all of the possibilities. Okay. And of course, different information is also carried in different time slots. Okay. So, we've defined the slots now, and we've defined them in this sort of recurrent way, so over a very long
period, we can pin down exactly what's being sent in all of the different time slots, frequency pairs.
Depending on what you're saying, the physical transmission will also
possibly be slightly different. So you might send more or less bits, depending on what you're sending.
So by and large, so your basic is, again, to send your 270 kilobits per second. That's going to be a combination of data and encoding. And so within your time slot, you can send usually 148 bits, although again,
for your random access channel, you are at slower rate than 88 bits. And so there's built in covered times to try and, again, but this is just that random access. Everybody can make the request, so you try and minimize collisions, just like we saw with Wi-Fi. Okay. So, again, a fair amount has to go on within the burst.
And where did I? Oops. And so, again, there are different burst types
associated with different logical channels. So again, a reason why you need to know what exactly is being sent at any given time, because we're actually see it. Okay. So there's five types of bursts. So our normal one, which is what we're pretty much describing, and then bursts associated with control channels, bursts associated with the request for access, and then an idle burst, just the send.
Okay. So because of this burst structure, again, it's important to know what you're sending at any given time. Okay, so at so if you think of a hierarchy, we start out, well, we have these time slots, and we transmit bits within the time slots. We group 8 time slots together to make a frame.
Okay, so that's, so you can allocate a sequence of time slots. Then to multiplex in our control information, we use multi-frames. Depending on what we're multiplexing, we either have a 26-frame sequence or a 51-frame sequence. To complete the cycle, we obviously have to go through sort of an even number of both those sequences. So if you multiply 26 by 51, take that many frames, you get a super frame. So you get a collection. You get to see the entire cycle through all of the different channels. Okay. So, again, either multiplexing traffic in control or broadcast channels.
And cycling through them all. Okay. At the highest level, you have what's called a hyperframe, which is 2K 2048 superframes, and that lasts for a little roughly three and a half hours, and it's used for the purpose to assist in encryption. Okay, so again, just
recap all that. So we have this, so down at the bottom, we have a time slot. Into the time slot, you transmit various types of bursts. Okay, what burst you're using depends on what type of what logical channel you have. Your time slots are grouped into 8 slot frames, and then obviously then a physical channel is a combination of the time slot plus a given frequency. Given your time slot and given frequency, in order to, again, decide what your logical channels are, you have to examine it in the context of sequencing, so either multiplexing control onto traffic channels or multiplexing the broadcast control channels. This is done with different length sequences. Okay, so either 51 or 26. And so if you run for 26 times 51, you'll have an even number of cycles of each of these. So you'll have gotten back, you'll have cycled through everything and be back where you started. And then again, the hyperframe is used for these encryption purposes.
So that runs you through, again, the complete cycle, and everybody knows what sort of information to expect on any given time slot frequency pair at any given time. Okay, we already did the burst. Okay, and so that's just, again, this is just a summary of all the different types of logical channels, so traffic or control. Okay, so again, if we think about our one of our basic operations, call setup, then so the mobile station has to synchronize with the base station. It does this by monitoring the broadcast control channels. And if it wants to initiate a call, it has to use the random access control channel to make the request. The base station then responds with an access on the access grant channel, so it grants the access, and assigns a dedicated control channel to the connection. The base station
is able to determine, power levels and other sort of important information about the user's channel or where is it, so it can set the transmit power levels. By assessing that when the signal from the request.
Okay, so the slow dedicated control channel allows messaging for authentication of the user, and while that's going on, the telephone company can be trying to make the rest of the connection. When that connection is made, then we need to set up a data channel so the MS is told what data channel they've been assigned. Okay, and again, for a voice connection, they're going to need a single one of those slots. Okay, and then the data is transferred in both directions along that slot. Okay. So that's, again, that's just a little example of how the control messaging works for a specific operation. So those channels are complicated, but they actually get more complicated for UMTS and LTE because for those you add in, for UMTS, because for those you add in packet handling as well. So you've, it's worth thinking about that structure because it is similar for the other versions as well. So that gives us sort of, 6,000 pages of standards compressed into 30 slides. So that gives you some idea of how the cellular systems achieve full connectivity. So again, I would invite you all to attend the workshop next week. It should be quite interesting. It's obviously I'm not going to test you on it, so it's up to you whether you want to go or not. But I am. I won't be giving a lecture, so you can attend the workshop in place of a lecture next week, and I'll post the link for it on Loop. So that takes us to the end of our time and sort of to the end of that topic anyway. So we'll continue in 2 weeks' time, moving, again, further forward through the generations of cellular systems. So I'll see you guys in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you.